to read tonight in the book of Romans, first of all in chapter 5. Romans and chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then verse 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And just turn back a page to chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now that's all I want to read with the Lord's blessing. During the few nights of the week that has passed, we've been thinking of some very important words in relation to the gospel. And last evening we thought a little bit on the great thought of forgiveness and that great message that Paul announced in Acts 13 regarding the Lord Jesus, when he said that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What a great truth is the message of forgiveness. We looked on another night at the thought of converted. We thought of the word saved and so on, different aspects. Now what we have read tonight three times over is one of those great words in our Bible when it comes to the gospel. It's the word justified. Now we have it, of course, many times more, but we have read at least three here tonight in the book of Romans in that great reality of being justified. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, Paul says, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful, Paul says, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified by blood, justified by grace, justified by faith. When you go to the Old Testament and to the book of Job, and many believe that Job lived in the days as long ago as Abraham, and that would be going back some 4,000 years. And Job in his book, if you've read it, you will know that at times he asks various questions. Big questions. Important questions. And at least three questions that Job asks in that book. He asks a question on one occasion where he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. What a question. He says, how can I find him? To find God. Job asked another question, which is a big question, isn't it? He said, if a man die, shall he live again? Well, that's a question, isn't it? If a man die, shall he live again? And then another question that Job asked, and suppose it's in particular that question tonight that is addressed in these great scriptures here. He says, how then can a man be just with God? What questions those are. Well, you know, there's a sense in which all of those three great questions are answered in the Lord Jesus. When he says, oh, that I knew where I might find him. That's answered in the incarnation. The coming into the world of the Lord Jesus. I often think of Philip, as spoken of in John chapter 1, where he found Nathanael, and he says, "We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write," he says, "Jesus of Nazareth." You see, he says, "We have found him. He's here. He's real. He's no phony. He's no fake. He's no imitation. It's really, truly him. We have found him. The one that patriarchs long for, that prophets look for. We have found him because he came in incarnation. Jesus, my Savior," we sing. To Bethlehem came. Born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name. Seek him for me, for me. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. If a man die, shall he live again? And surely that must be answered in the resurrection of the Lord. You see, the great truth of the gospel is tonight that there was a man who died and lives again. There's one who became dead, he says to John. He says, "I am he that liveth," he says, "and was dead," or became dead, "and behold, I am alive forevermore." There's a man that did die and lives again. And the great truth is, not only that he lives again, but he'll never die again. He whom God raised up dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. How then can a man be just with God? And surely that must be answered in the crucifixion. That must be answered in the death and sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. Whereby tonight all these great statements that we have read from Romans is really based upon. Because the very foundation and the very platform by which a man or woman, boy and girl, can be just with God is on the basis of the one sacrifice and the shed blood and the substitution of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. And so Paul says, much more, he says. He says, then he says, now he says, being justified by his blood. Romans 5 is that great chapter where I think, is it five times over you have those two words, much more. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Blood. Justified by his blood fundamentally. That is the fundamental, foundational truth whereby sinners can be justified. It's on the foundation of the death of Christ upon the cross. How can a man then be just with God? Well, you know, when you think of Job on that distant day, and when you think of man in any day, and Job, no doubt, he realized something of the highness and the holiness of God. And he realized something of his own sin and how Job could say, he could say in one occasion, he says, "Behold," he says, "I am vile." And how can man who has sinned and has gone astray and is warped and ruined by sin can ever be linked with God? How can a man ever be just with God? How can he ever be accepted? Well, there's one thing sure tonight. It's not on any works that he can do. It's not on any means by which he somehow can muster. No wonder the hymn writer said, "No works of merit now I claim, but Jesus take for all my need. No righteousness in me is found, except upon redemption ground." who are tonight to be just with God, to be justified, to be brought into union and communion with the God of heaven, to be brought into a place of favor and fitness for heaven. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? You know, tonight we'd all agree, would we not, that it is an amazing thought to be saved from hell. And to know that you'll never perish. But to know it's equally, if not even bigger, my, to think that you're in union with the God of heaven. Where Peter says that Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, to be saved from hell and to be brought to God. What a tremendous thought. And so, how can a man be just with God? Justified by his blood, fundamentally. The death of Christ. You see, in that great thought, there is the truth of no dread. Justified by his blood, that means that the judgment cannot come on me. Way back in Egypt, in the story of the slaves, the Israelites, when it came to that tenth plague, the plague of death, God told them to take a lamb and to keep it from the 10th to the 14th day. And in the evening of that 14th day, it was to be slain. Its blood was to be caught in the basin. And they were to take that blood and they were to strike it on the doorposts and on the lintels of the houses where they were. And what happened? Well, I'll tell you this. What happened was that when that blood was outside on the door, there was no judgment could come inside. When the blood was outside and it was seen, and the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, there was no dread of judgment. The fact is this, that the Lord would pass over the door. But no judgment would ever come in. That's it tonight. Being justified by his blood. The blood of Christ. What does it do? It saves me from the dread of judgment. It saves me from the doom of eternal wrath. To justify. Well, much more he says then, now he says, being justified by his blood. Oh, the great truth tonight. To think about it, you know, Paul says, in relation to reconciliation, he says, ye who one time were far off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. In relation to redemption, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. My says, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know, tonight, it's all there. In the blood of Christ. One shed, all shed on the cross. You know, there's reconciliation, we're brought to God. There's redemption. We're set free. There's remission. It's all there. You see, when you go away from the cross, there's nothing. There's nothing, in relation to man's eternal blessing and salvation for a soul if you leave the cross there. Well, you say, what about his life? You know, there are some well-meaning, well-minded people, and they have an idea that somehow if they could follow somehow his life as best they can, Well, maybe, you know, by and by they would hope to have an entrance into heaven. The reality is tonight that the life of the Lord Jesus condemns us. You see, here was one who lived absolutely pure and holy and perfect. And my, when you put yourself alongside him, well, it condemns you. The life of Christ does not save us. The life of Christ condemns us. It's his death that saves us. And the fact is this. If his life had not have been sinless, his death would never have been sinatorial. Justified by his blood. Is that your experience tonight? Well, not depending on yourself or on some religion or something of your own doing. Not depending on something by of your own doing. But I'm resting. Resting on him. Oh, thank God tonight. That you can be just with God. That you can, my, be right with God. But it's on what another has done. Justified by his blood. Fundamentally. Being justified by freely by his grace. Not alone. Justified by his grace administratively. That's how it is administered in the grace of God. You know, Romans 3, there we've read that words often quoted in the gospel, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul says, and then he says, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's one great thing about the scriptures, and that is this very simple thing, that wherever you read about the rule, a man's sin, don't stop reading, because you'll come to the remedy very soon. And that's the word of God, you know. Now, wherever you find the fact of the rule of sin and the rule of man, oh, just keep on reading, for you'll soon find the remedy. And Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's the picture, my, of man ruined and wretched in his sin. And then he says, be justified freely by his grace. The grace, well, the wonder of that word, isn't it? Freely, without effort on your part or mine. Being justified freely, without effort on your part or mine, without expense, freely. Murray McShane wrote the words, when free grace awoke, by the light from God. Isn't it a tremendous gospel tonight? This is the free grace of God. My, you see, men, they try to do and work and pay and try, oh, as much as they can to somehow merit, but salvation isn't the free grace of God that runs from the full sacrifice of Calvary. It's the free grace of God. Being justified, he says, freely by his grace. The freeness of it. You see, this grace tonight that runs freely is this grace that really can be found, isn't it? Is it the first time you find it in your Bible in relation to Noah? The word grace, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace tonight that is free. Grace tonight that can be found. Oh, the wonder tonight. Grace that is for all. Paul says, the grace of God, he says, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace for all. You can go on and on, you know. Free. It's grace. This grace that can be found. This grace that's for all. And this grace that's forever. Oh, the grace of God tonight. You know, Paul the Apostle, when he comes to the end of life and he's looking back and he's writing to Timothy, and he says, who has saved us? And called us with a holy calling. He says, not according, he says, to our works, he says, but according, he says, to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, he looks away back. And he looks away back to the day in the Damascus Road. He says, he saved us. He talks about that a few times, doesn't he? You know, he says it was at midday. Oh, King, in Acts 26, when he was before Agrippa, he says, when on the way, he says, there was a light that shone round about me, and then the journey with me. But you know, he goes way back further than that. He says, he has saved us and called us with an holy call. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And then he goes way back. He says, before the world began. And he looks way back. Way back beyond time. Way out of eternity. And he sees the grace of God. You know, there's another time he looks away the other direction. He looks away forward. And he writes in Ephesians chapter 2, and he says, that in the ages to come, he says, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And this time, He looks ahead and he looks away out into eternity, and he says, in the ages to come are the dispensations that will roll on, the aeons of eternity, and he sees the grace of God. You know, the fact is this tonight, that it's all of grace. Whether you look that way or that way, it's the grace of God. Being justified freely by his grace. That grace that is forever. The hymn writer said, it reaches me. Wondrous grace. It reaches me. Has it ever reached you tonight? Has it reached your soul? Has it saved your soul? Oh, this evening, you know, sadly there's so many people, and they'll not let it reach them, will they? Their ears are stopped. Their minds are closed. Their hearts are hardened. And Christ is outside.
And yet, His grace has reached me. Justified freely by His grace.
As I close,
therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith, experimentally. How does it become yours? How does it become mine? Therefore, being justified by faith, the Bible talks, you know, about little faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed. Faith that is little. Faith that links, you see. That's the channel. Now, get it clear tonight. It's not faith in itself that saves. Faith is the link. Faith is the channel. Faith is belief and operation. It's faith in Christ that saves. Justified by faith. Little that links faith that leans on Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. The simple principle of faith that runs throughout our Bible. Oh, no wonder the hymn writer said, my faith is found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall be. What about you today? Has there been that contact? Has there been that link? Has there been that simplicity of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it is real, isn't it? The hymn writer said that working will not save you, and weeping will not save you, and praying will not save you, but faith in Christ will save you. The Christ that paid all, and did all, and settled all the cross. My, let me say this as a cross. Justified by faith. When a sinner believes, rests on Christ. You see, I'm cleansed from every sin. I'm cleared from every charge. And I'm counted righteous before God. And now God sees me in Christ. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. How then can a man be just with God? Isn't it so tonight? But it's possible. And it's feasible. And it's reliable. And more so, it's incredible. that God can be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Oh, for a soul to believe it, and make it yours, and know what it is to be justified freely by his grace. Shall we pray? Lord, we give thee thanks for these great scriptures of truth, these words of life, and these life-giving words. And we just pray.